When we were a part of a denomination, she was a very sought-after speaker within that denomination, sometimes speaking to crowds of 10,000 people. I'm telling you the truth. And here we are, and we have the privilege of having her to little old us. Mom, we're happy to have you, and we're anxious to hear what you got to say today.
Thank you, John.
Could we give Mom a big welcome again?
He could have spoken all day and not said that, because that puts up expectations. And I should tell you, that was when I was a young girl. And now I am old. But, you know, I realize that next week is, not this coming week, but next week is Good Friday. Wow. Easter, Christmas. That's what I mean. Easter's upon us. And I'm so glad that we're spending this time, though, before Easter, to talk about what it meant to have Easter, what it cost Jesus to have Easter. And so this morning, I'm going to follow on that theme. And the title of my message this morning is called The Transfer. And I'll be reading from the book of John, if you want to open up your Bibles to that, but they will tell you that later. But let me ask you this. Have you ever been made fun of? Oh, I got Liz, but I'm going to get her. Okay, come on, Liz. She's going to read our opening scriptures. I could not do without Liz, even though I thought I could. You ready? All right. Our scriptures today are from John 19, verses 17 and 18. Then we're going to skip a few and read verses 25 through 27.
Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, his disciples took her into his home.
Thank you, Liz.
Welcome.
Let's give her a hand there. So as we begin to think about Jesus and his passion, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been made fun of? Have you ever been lied about? Have you ever been betrayed? Well, have you ever been slapped? Or have you ever been beaten? I'm sure some of you in this room have experienced some or all of these. Maybe all of us at least have one of those, to be betrayed or lied about. But how did that make you feel? And even more important, how did you respond to that? Because what we're trying to do here is to learn to love and live after the pattern of Jesus. So as we consider this particular scripture, I want us to focus on the three people that were standing, the three people involved at the cross. Especially, there was Jesus on the cross, and then beneath the cross, looking up at him, was his mother and her friends and John. And so this morning, I want to just take a few moments, and we're going to talk about these three people, Jesus, his mother, and John. Let's talk, first of all, about Jesus. In Luke 22 and in John 18, it says that he was slapped in the face. Imagine. Wow, slapping in the face, and in front of people, too. And he was hit with a staff. You know, it's like John's cane, I guess. Is that what a staff is? Something like that to aid you along? And then they said he was spit on. How can we read this verse or this section of scripture without entering into the story and kind of sense for ourselves what it was like for Jesus to experience this. And then even more important, how did he react to all of it? In Luke 23, it said he was slapped various times by people, different people. When he went to the high priest, for example, an officer slapped him saying, "Is that how you answer a high priest?" And then in the two gospel writers, Matthew and Mark, both record the trial before the Sanhedrin. And where Jesus was accused of blasphemy. And so then they spit in his face and they struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Messiah. Who hit you?" And this time, multiple people were involved in doing that, just slapping him and say, "Tell us who did that? Who did that? Do you know that?" The shame of it all, the intensity of it, of the anger of it all. And then when the Roman soldiers sentenced, led him after he was sentenced by Pilate, they mocked him. Then they put a crown of thorns on his head and they struck him on the head. And then they too spit on him. Are you in the story yet? You feeling it? Feeling what he might have felt? As I read those, I asked you if you'd ever been lied about or betrayed. But how many of you, I don't even answer, don't even raise your hand or not. How many of you have ever been spit on? Spitting is at a whole nother level of being degraded. Being spit on is kind of the worst form that could ever happen to you. There's a lot of health concerns involved too. If you had a cold or if you had COVID, whatever, and you spit on somebody, what are your chances? What are your chances of getting some of what they had? And so what if this was done in front of all your friends too? That's what happened to Jesus. I remember the effects of spitting on our son, Philip. Philip was, he wanted to really let his light shine in high school, and so he organized a group of people around him, and they'd have Bible studies, and they would sing together and go out places and sing. And one night, one day on the bus, riding home on the bus, they started taunting him, and they called him, "Oh, you and your God squad, you and your God squad." And that became sort of a taunt on them. And as this energy grew, you know how it is on the bus, if the bus driver doesn't keep control, it got a little bit out of hand. And so all at once, one of the girls started and spit him on the back of the head, spit him on the top of his head. Well, we were home when he came home after the bus, off the bus. And I remember we were in the living room waiting for him. We were over in View Street where it was a bi-level. And instead of Philip coming up to tell us about his day, we watched him go down and we heard him give a big sob. And so his dad went down to talk to him. "Philip, what's the matter?" And he told him about how he was spit on. Well, the story got around in our family. And Philip has a big brother named Paul. And, you know, we're trying to live and learn after Jesus, after the pattern of Jesus. Well, Paul didn't know about that yet. So, and Paul always thought he was too cool to ride the bus. But when he heard that, he said, "Tomorrow, I'm riding that bus." So the next morning, he got on the bus. And so on their way, I guess he did it after, he came home on the bus. And he got in there, and before everybody had seated down, he got hold of the two guys that had really taunted Philip, and he took each one of them separately and raised them up. Paul's a big guy, if you don't know. And he raised them up real fast and set them down, threw them down into the floor, says, "Here, watch you watch your own spit. He said, couldn't believe it. I just asked him about this when he was home last week, and he told me that story, and I go, oh my goodness, Paul. I didn't know the whole story. But it was that much to him that he just could not stand to have his brother. Of course, Paul got kicked off the bus for life, you know, but he thought it was worth it. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. They made him carry his own cross. They took him to went to the place called the Skull, and there they crucified him with two others, one on each side. And what was Jesus' response? It wasn't like Paul's. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But often we leave this story too quickly. We get him down from the cross, we bury him, and then we tell the Easter story. But there's a lot more going on there while he's on the cross. In John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27, it says, near the cross stood his mother. His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene, and John. I want to spend a few minutes today just sharing with you about these people. Jesus on the cross. We talked about him already. But then I want to go to Mary. What would it be like if it was you watching your own son? I don't know what I would have done, or John would, my husband would have done, if he had seen his son get spit on. But I know what Paul did do. But what would it be like if you were a hopeless female in that society who had no power, no control over what they did to your son? How they beat him, and she watched him get spit on and hit with the rods and the crown of thorns placed on his head. And she's observing all this, and she even watched them as they nailed him to the cross and stuck it in the ground. I have to take a deep breath on that one myself. But that was her son. She watched him get tortured, convicted, and impaled on the cross. Impaled on the cross. His mother was, I love Mary. I love Mary. She was with him from the time he was born, or even before, and all the way to the cross. Eventually, you'll see that she was actually in the book of Acts, too. She followed him all the way. Mary was the one who told him about his seed bed, about his mission, what his mission was. Only she could tell him a lot of the supernatural parts. Can you imagine that she had to, you know, he had to grow up just like the rest of us. She had to teach him to walk and how to talk and all the nuances of some of the things people said. And I'm sure they had a bond that began to form between the two of them. And I can hear her getting ready to tuck him into bed one night. And he'll say, hey, Mom, tell me a story. And she said, well, which one do you want to know? Well, how about the time the angel came and told you that I was going to be born? Or another night it might be, what about all those presents that the Magi brought to us? You know, there are so many stories she could tell him as he was growing up. But she had to feed into him, too, his purpose for being on earth. And one day he might have said, hey, Mom, what was that song you made up that day when you found out that you were pregnant with me? Wait for it. My soul magnifies the Lord. I won't do it any further, but Mary did. She talked about how she would be talked about for generations to come, and I'm going to talk about her today. But it was up to Mary, as he grew, to share his story of what happened before he was born, why he was born, what was said. And she kept many things that as he was growing up, the inner heart of what he did, and had to put the pieces in place of what had been prophesied compared to what was actually happening. You might be surprised to realize she actually had to discipline him. Don't we all? Do you remember when he was 12 and a whole family went over to do the festival of the Passover? And he got, you know, there's a big crowd that had to make that trip to Jerusalem. So they were started going home and, you know, they'd stop at night, cook their meal over a campfire and sleep and then get up the next day. Well, three days out before they noticed that Jesus wasn't even with them. 3 days of walking. And it's fine. I remember when we first started our church here in Ottawa, we had a little church on the corner of Post and Prairie, and we had an evangelist there, and we were taking them home to eat with us, and then we had two cars. And Pamela went to sleep on the pew. I thought John had her, and he thought I had her. Well, here was this little baby alone in a darkened church building. And when we got home, we raced back there we could not eat. We couldn't think till we got to make sure she was safe and not afraid. And luckily she hadn't awakened. But I can't imagine what it was for those parents. But he wasn't a toddler now. He was 12. He was those kind, you know, that, what's he doing? Where is he? So they searched and searched for him. And so she says, why didn't you come with us? Why, you know, she got after him. He says, I had to be about my own father's business. But she had to do all of that. Then she was the one that set in motion his first miracle. You know, she knew in her heart who he was and that his purpose was. But it takes a while, you know. So they went to this wedding, and they're just around having a good time, and they ran out of wine. So she said to the servants, I want you to go to Jesus, and I want you to do whatever he tells you to do. And so, of course, you know how they had better wine at the bottom, at the end, than they did. Yes, Jesus was formed as a child from his youth by his mother. By the way, his father, you never hear of Joseph again, which was not his real father. But Joseph apparently is dead by this time, because you never hear of him again and after that time at the when they went to the Passover and he got lost. But Mary continued following Jesus. She watched him do his miracles. She helped prepare the food. She and her women friends, you know, Jesus didn't even have a home for himself. And so she made sure that he had all the comforts that were needed there. But there were times when she treasured such things in her heart that she could tell nobody else about them because she was waiting to see how it was all going to turn out. And she remembered that time when they did go to the temple for the purification, and Jesus was quite young. And Simeon took him in his arms, and he said, this child is a special child. He was sent for the recovery of Israel. He's appointed for the fail and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that will be opposed so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. But then he turned to Mary and he spoke to her directly. He said, and a sword will pierce through you, your own heart as well. There's going to be a deep sorrow in your heart because of this child you bore. As I look again at this cross and I see Jesus is there with her friend and his mother below and his mother's friends and a few others, and there was one disciple, but I asked myself, well, where was his brothers? Did you know Jesus had brothers? He had four brothers. We're told in Mark 3 that even their names were James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And he also had some sisters. How would you like to be a brother or a sister of Jesus? Hey, why don't you be like Jesus? Why don't you live and love more like Jesus? Or she might even have a wristband that said WWJD. I don't know, because the Bible says they did not believe in him until after the resurrection. So his brothers weren't there at the cross to see all of this. His mother loved and followed him from the cross and even beyond. And then there was one other person at the cross, and that was John. John was one of the 12 disciples. In fact, he's one of the first four disciples that Jesus ever called. I searched and searched, and I thought, well, where are the other disciples? John was the only disciple at the cross that day. Where were the rest of them? The Bible says that when they all fled and they left, when they came into the garden, remember, and seized Jesus, they said all the disciples fled and left him. But evidently, John sneaked back there because he watched the entire trial. So John was there. Where was Peter? He's out getting warm by the fire, telling lies. I don't even know who this is. Judas felt so bad about betraying that he went out and hung himself. But the rest of them, nobody was there except John. And from the bottom of the cross, Mary looked up and saw her firstborn. And as he did that, he saw that there was one other person beside his mom there, and that was his disciple John. And he turned, and in spite of all the pain he was going through, and in spite of being spit on, in spite of being beaten, in spite of blood running and coursing through his veins, he turned to John, and he said to John, "Behold your mother, and woman, behold your son." Do you think that was a little callous to call her a woman? Why didn't he call her a mom? Why didn't he say, well, at least call her Mary, mom, mama? But woman brought us back to Eve, the first woman. Brought everyone's attention back to the fact the first woman, person named woman, had failed, but this woman had created it and done it just right. Woman, behold your son. Son, here is your mother. Is it any surprise that John loved Jesus so much and trusted him so much that that's who Jesus said, I want my mother to live with him? So what about you and me? We all have decisions to make. Can Jesus trust us? How do we show our love for him? I called this a transfer. Jesus transferred his mother to his best friend and somebody he trusted. And now he's calling us. He wants to transfer his love to your heart and to mine. He wants you to catch a vision of what it's really like that he went through because he loved you so much. So this morning we are having communion. We're going to be partaking of the wine and the bread. And as we do it, I want us to think of Jesus and the price it paid for it, that he's transferred his life. He's taken away our sins, and he's transferred that all to us, the forgiveness of all our sins. God bless you.